Hello and welcome to Brands Over Brews, your weekly chat with marketing and business leaders who are shaping the future of the industry. I'm your host, Pat Cooper. Each episode, we'll explore the strategies, insights, and personal stories of our guests. Let's get started. On today's episode, we have Brian Hurst. Brian's career is a testament to his unwavering commitment to customer-centric roles. Beginning as a college program intern at Disney World, he learned the art of creating unforgettable experiences. His recent focus on marketing within the tech industry has showcased his innovative approach, ensuring that customer expectations are not only met, but exceeded as much as possible. Brian's leadership extends to his role on the board of the American Marketing Association, Boston Chapter, where he contributes to shaping marketing trends and fostering professional growth in the field. With a foundation rooted in delivering exceptional customer experiences, Brian's career journey highlights his passion for understanding and meeting customer needs. From creating magic at Disney World to shaping impactful marketing strategies for tech companies, he consistently strives for excellence. Brian's dual role as a marketing leader and board member at AMA Boston underscores his dedication for staying ahead of industry trends and fostering growth within the marketing community. Brian, it's great to have you here today.
Hey, how's it going, Pat?
It's going great, thanks. So to kick off our conversation today, what is your go-to brew?
In terms of beer, I would say it's porters, stouts, some of the darker brews.
Okay.
In terms of like a daily coffee type stuff, I kind of a rare one because I don't drink coffee that often, maybe like once a quarter, which is hard to believe for some, I'm sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I do like a caramel macchiato or like a green tea. So I'm kind of all over the map, but not a consistent drinker.
No, you definitely like the fun coffees because, yeah, I'm definitely a bit of a macchiato guy myself or a frappuccino from Starbucks. Yeah. So, yeah, no, absolutely. Those are some really good choices. So the first topic that we wanted to talk through today was, of course, customer marketing. You have a really extensive background in customer success and customer marketing and building that sort of brand journey with a customer. So how does that integration work from the experience into the customer journey with those added touch points along the way?
I think the pandemic exemplified we're not only just speaking to what we want to sell as a company or we want to provide services as a company, but also integrating what the customer needs. And then how do we blend the two together to fill their needs, but also make profit as well? So it seemed to exemplify so much of a merger versus we're going to be a watch company and hopefully someone buys.
Yeah, that's a really good point because, yeah, I mean, a brand really has to find its customer market and really make some sort of resonance with them, right? You can't just say, hey, we're here, buy from us. You have to really find their pain points and really understand what kind of journey they're going through to kind of match the journey that you're putting them through. Either on the website or through your, you know, different marketing funnels.
And especially even historically, it used to be like, if we build it, they will come. And I don't think that's as accurate these days. People are putting their eyeballs on a brand even early on, even pre-launch. What are they up to? What are they going to solve for me? What value are they going to bring?
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of oversaturation in a lot of markets. So you really have to find some sort of differentiation for your brand because it's not just going to be like you're going to create something new and people are going to flock to you. It's a bit crowded right now. And I think a lot of brands are feeling the heat with that. So is there a good way for customer marketers to really dig into that differentiation?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with kind of step one. What are we building first? Because that's going to disseminate to the journey that you take the brand, but also the consumer. I mean, it was a CNN article about the saturation of dating apps. I mean, it's got to be 100 plus
right
in almost every region, meaning like North America, Asia, Africa. So there's just, what do you do different is so hard in some cases because you're like, well, we're a dating app, but what do you do different that a user would experience differently is kind of an ongoing thing. And that's why I think a lot of brands are building it public, because they want to get that first user, they want to get the first dollar and then evolve.
Yeah, and on that thought with dating apps, I recall a news article a few months back with Tinder kind of rolling out a differentiated feature on the app where people don't have to connect, they can just message each other.
Yeah.
And I expect that to be a bad differentiation, right? Is there such thing as a kind of a bad feature, a bad differentiation that, you know, marketers could be potentially tapping into as well?
They're obviously trying, they're experimenting, they're evolving. I think the key is, do you have user impact before you roll something out to the masses? So it might be a focus group that is pretty common. But I mean, there's ways to get customer input without having to bring them all in and set them up for lunch. It can just be as simple as a X Twitter poll, even just to get a small sample. Then you can build that sample out.
Yeah, I agree there. And in terms of building up that customer experience, like we were talking about earlier, how does content curation or content consumption go into it? Because that's really a huge, you know, part of the brand journey, delivering that sort of content.
So I think it covers all steps of the customer journey. I think we're so focused on, we got to create content for top of funnel, but there's still an emphasis on, let's create content for the existing user who wants to use it more, who only has 5 minutes a week to dive in initially while they're building trust. So it's creating content across that landscape, and that only adds to the noise, but it does help a consumer go from an average user to a pro user.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a part of, you know, marketing where you can take user-generated content or customer-generated content. How important is that for a brand to not only collect and get that sort of feedback, but also reuse and repurpose into their own marketing strategy?
I mean, what a segue, Pat. Do you have access to my Evernote? So I brought up UCG in my notes as well. And I really loved, like a lot of people did, the Ocean Spray, Fleetwood Mac,
right?
Dogwood Face, I think it was. I think it was the first major time that brands were like, wait, we can take the average Joe's content and make it ours and kind of collab like a lot of musicians do. Like, oh, I like that sample. Let me create something off of it. And it created this brand, artist, and user into this one piece of content that just spiraled out of control for all the right reasons.
Yeah, I love the idea of like rough content. Like you don't need someone in like a high-rise apartment studio pouring some juice into a perfect looking glass bottle and drinking it for it to be good content for a brand. You can literally have someone longboarding down a sidewalk, drinking right out of the bottle, just chugging it and, you know, singing along. So I think that having that sort of really cool, unique, organic, native looking content, it's a big pull because it really, it resonates with the average consumer, just the everyday customer. And it looks really good for the brand because they're able to uplift that maybe lower customer profile or customer journey right into the mainstream media on social media.
Absolutely. It almost became, wait, we don't have to make this perfect. We can make this authentic.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of brands need to tap into that more these days that, you know, not everything has to be perfect. Not everything really has to be chopped up. You know, you can build in public, you can, you don't want to give a bad experience, but you can give a, you know, this is a live experience, and kind of give that rough, unfiltered cut that a lot of daily consumers are really missing.
Totally agreed.
And speaking into kind of that live experience, that also segues into our next topic of social media innovation. I know you've been doing a lot with live content for AMA Boston. Can you define what live content is, aside from the obvious, it's live content, as well as where it's heading?
For me, it's really a evolution of where content is going. People are reading several blogs a week. They may read snippets of their favorite newspaper's article, and it's just so noisy. So that's why there was an evolution of video. And at first, when TikTok really came onto the scene, it was like, oh, it's just teens dancing. And it was, I think, a perfect storm, because it was like, we've graduated from solely text-based consumption. And then live content takes that a step further, and it's organic, it's authentic, as we've been speaking, and it really puts you into the shoes of a brand or a role or a new feature, because it's happening real time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just to add, it's not vetted, or it's not critiqued or polished by industry leaders, which is great in a lot of cases, but here it can be more digestible for end user or consumer.
Yeah, it feels just really organic, even when it's like a rep from a brand hosting some sort of space. It feels organic. It feels rough. It feels like there's no script. There's, you know, people can mess up. The audio can clip out. Like, it can be this really fun experience to play around with. And in terms of platforms that people are tapping into for live content, I know we don't talk about Clubhouse anymore. That is off into the recycling bin. But what do you think is the go-to platform that marketers can start tapping into for live content?
Well, quick side note on Clubhouse. It's amazing, even though it's not mainstream, so to speak, it's still being used by a good amount of folks, almost to the point of rock being classic rock now. But there's still eyeballs, there's still interest, even though it's not what it was.
I miss it, yeah.
Right? So even a band like Godsmack here in Boston is like dad rock now, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
But in terms of like a live platform, I definitely think there's a combination of LinkedIn to kind of stay professional. But then, I mean, TikTok it's really where it's at, just because it's being curated. For those who aren't aware, TikTok was the first platform to really drive home interests and tastes and preferences versus who you know. So mm-hmm. Facebook was always centric on, oh, I know Pat, let's show him maybe something that Pat likes and maybe Brian likes it. But now it's like, what does Brian like solely? And we're going to serve up content based on that, not necessarily the network involved.
Yeah, totally. It's not always a network. I know that social platforms are really tapping into live content, live audio, live video. You know, think Twitter Spaces, Reels, doing that sort of unfiltered organic content. Since we're talking about social media, I feel like in an organization, really anyone can be, tapping into a brand social media. You have a lot of brands doing takeovers. You have a lot of brands asking their employees to be influencers and to repurpose and repost a brand's content. So who truly, you know, owns social media within an organization or within a brand? Because I know that, you know, social media marketers and leaders are always important, and they will forever be important. But are we looking for more like of a spread approach these days that brands are tapping into?
I definitely think it's becoming more popular, without obviously doing a full-on study, because historically it was like, well, this marketing narrative should live in the marketing world, and then anything else is probably in a support organization. But I think the two are blending the lines, because marketing collateral doesn't simply just say if Pat creates an Instagram post, he can brush his hands off and go on vacation to Fort Lauderdale. Right. That there's more that goes into it, because those conversations stir engagement, that stirs adoption, it stirs lifetime value, even from that niche micro moment.
Yeah, completely. I definitely think it's becoming a lot more popular in organizations, and social media marketers are really setting the frameworks for brands that, you know, anyone in the organization can tap into. So it's almost like it's a new tool that brands can give every employee versus, you know, it's siloed to maybe two people.
Yeah, and it also provides voice amongst the organization. Like someone might be in a sales role and bring that sales energy to their postings or their highlights. So then they're focused on, we're going to make it easy for you, or we're going to remove doubt. So that kind of posting shines through versus maybe someone in accounting who's solely numbers focused.
Yeah, completely. So I think that's a great takeaway for, social media marketing. To go back to live audio and live content for a moment, if a marketer is just looking to get started in live audio, live marketing, maybe a brand is looking to tap into that pillar of content, are there any really good examples aside from AMA Boston that does a really great job of generating that type of content that they can look into for inspiration?
I would say it really depends on their niche itself. Like there are countless examples of brands that do live content really well. But I would say for listeners, find your lane and then find folks from there, because then I think that's going to be closer to where they're wanting to go. And I think there's obviously risk involved when you explore uncharted waters, but what they can do is explore as an individual first, learn from that, and then you can bring it up to the brand level versus the brand level has the complexities of looping out other departments. And if you can bring that individual aspect, then I think you're going to be easier to speak on it versus just simply going at it from a brand point of view.
Yeah, there's a lot of intricacies to really consider when you tap into a new type of content format, especially something as dynamic as anything live.
Totally.
Awesome. Well, to wrap up today, what is one takeaway you want listeners to leave with?
I would say, and I couple off Gary Vee's message over the last few years, it's try, it's experiment, play in that sandbox, because it could be something so small, but it moves the needle because it resonates with your audience. So go on a TikTok live, and I kind of posted on X right before this recording, will 2024 be the year we see two brands battle each other in a TikTok format? And for those who aren't aware, that's when two creators couple their audiences basically against each other to see who gets the most engagement. So it's really fascinating.
Yeah, I think trying and experimenting is such an important part of a marketer's playbook. Take a look at Ocean Spray, like we talked about today. It paid off so much. It completely paid off. And I know that a lot of more brands are going to be experimenting a lot harder into 2024 and 2025.
Absolutely.
So before we end the show, where can people find you online?
Probably the most is going to be X or Twitter. So that's Brian Hurst 01. Most other platforms are the same handle. On TikTok, if you want to see some of my college football content, it's Brian Hurst 02. Slight adjustment there. And then on LinkedIn, Brian Hurst.
Awesome. And I will include those in the show notes. Well, Brian, it was great having you on today.
Awesome. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Brands Over Brews. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe and leave a review. Your feedback means the world to me and it helps others discover the show. You can get a transcribed copy of each episode delivered to your inbox each week by joining our email list at brandsoverbrews.com. If you're interested in joining the show as a guest or want to become one of our valued partners, visit brandsoverbrews.com/contact. If you have any thoughts, questions, or want to connect, you can reach out to me on X at Pat B. Cooper. See you next time.